And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Greg Jackson is our guest, GREGGJackson.com. You can go to his website, bookmark his website. His book, also, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, a bestseller. It's been around for a while. It is a book that speaks biblical truths in a way that parents can relay and teach these messages to their children. Greg, before the break, we were talking about the healthcare bill, Paul Ryan, you know, the enemies of Trump within the GOP as well as on the left from Congress to Senate. In this whole, you know, political confusion we have a Republican House and Senate that can't seem to get anything done with the majority. And Trump is catching a lot of the flack for all the failures, both of the Congress and, in some of the legislation that he's been trying to put through. But he's being sabotaged at every turn. I don't know where you want to start this hour, Greg, but I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, he is being sabotaged at every turn, and we knew that this was going to take place. And I think that we need to be in prayer for Donald Trump. You know, he has exhibited, more of a sense of righteousness than any president that I can remember in terms of right and wrong. He might not be the most polished and certainly might not have the cleanest vocabulary. But the fact of the matter is that I believe God is using him, and in a way that maybe most people expect. It's not like he's using him just to reveal the sins of the Democrats, for example. I think that God has allowed Donald Trump, the most unlikely of presidential candidates and presidents, to be president, to reveal, and I've shared this before on your show, really the hearts and minds and motives of really all facets of society and different, portions of the political spectrum. I mean, think about it. Trump right now he's revealing quite a bit, isn't he? He's definitely exposing and doing what most Republicans haven't had the temerity to do, which is to, and people might disagree with the way in which he's going about it on Twitter. I happen to like the fact that he uses Twitter. That's how I communicate. It's 140 characters, and I like it because I think that there's something to be said for being concise, getting your message across in 140 characters is pretty powerful. And you know, Trump, for example, you know, tweeted the other day, you know, that about all the ties between Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and the Russians and their involvement with, you know, ties to corporations that are selling uranium to the Russians. And so Trump knows what's going on behind the scenes. And since the guy is so loaded financially, he doesn't need any of the rich lobbyists to support him. So he's not on the take. I think that's part of the reason why God potentially allowed Donald Trump to become president of the United States. He needed a man who would, I forget, one of your guests, Doug and Joe, said he's like God's prosecuting attorney. It might have been Steve Quayle. Can't remember who said that, but I agree with it. Believe that God is exposing many areas of evil in our society, and I don't, in a prophetic sense, to reveal the sins of the people, maybe even prior to the second coming of our Savior. But if you think about it, Trump is revealing the sins of not only the Democrats and the globalists and the socialists and the baby killers at Planned Parenthood, who the Republicans, by the way, had no problem for the past 8 years of Barack Obama funding Planned Parenthood, fully funding Planned Parenthood, even though they controlled the purse strings in Congress. But Donald Trump, I believe, is also revealing, I think even more importantly, a lot of the heart of the self-professing church in the United States of America, Christians. And what he's showing, and we touched upon this before the break, I believe, what is being revealed right now, Donald Trump is begging, and he was doing this on the campaign trails, begging Christians to stand up and to be heard and to be bold. A guy who's maybe he's a Christian, maybe he's not. I don't know the state of Donald Trump's salvation. But Donald Trump clearly is a friend to Christians. I don't think that you'd get too much disagreement with that, guys. And yet Donald Trump was begging Christian leaders at a meeting that Rick Wiles was at with other evangelical leaders, and he was basically saying, I am going to end the Johnson Amendment. I am going to be your friend. I'm going to stand up for Christian religious liberty and to stand against persecution of Christians around the world. So you have Donald Trump, who, in my opinion, has acted in a lot of ways a lot more Christian than a lot of quote-unquote Christian leaders in this country. And I think that that is, you know, you mentioned the wheats and the tares prior to break, and I think that God is revealing, you know, really, truly where people stand, the hearts of the people, their motives, their intentions, what they really believe. As I said earlier, you got a guy like Donald Trump, he says he's pro-life. Why? The first act of Congress should have been to bring a bill to President Trump saying we're not only going to defund Planned Parenthood, but we are going to call on you to enforce the God-given right to life for all innocent human persons in every state that fails to do so. We're going to end the abortion holocaust, and not only are we going to stand up for babies in the womb and end the genocide, the abortion holocaust in America, but we're also going to immediately call for hearings on the global pedophile ring in this country. And trust me, they all know about Pizzagate. They all know about Pedagate. They all know. And sadly, it's only Trump who is, if he makes any progress, it won't be because he's going to get a lot of support from members of Congress. Because sadly, many of them probably have skeletons in their closet and dirt that that would be revealed if they were involved in any way. So you basically have a situation right now, Joe and Doug, in my opinion, where this is the final hour. And anything short of a massive outpouring of repentance and humility, and this is, I want to get to this and kind of talk about my little revelation that I had this weekend on my youth group trip with my son and some of his friends, and also an incident that happened to me last week. I don't believe that there is any other solution. If there's going to be real change, and I'm with you, Joe and Doug, that, you know, I don't think America's done. I think it looks dark and grim, but there's, with God, there's always hope, and there's always, I don't know if there's, I doubt there's probably going to be a national revival. But I do believe that there can be a significant revival in this country of individuals. And I believe God is a lot more concerned with the salvation of souls than he is for the greatness of our military or our economy and seeing America, become the world superpower again. And so I think that we have a tremendous opportunity to continue to stand for truth and righteousness. And we have a guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the leader of the free world, the most powerful person in the world, even though the Democrats don't think so because he's not their president. But the fact of the matter is, shame on us, Doug, if we don't get off of our arses and play our positions and realize our identity in Jesus Christ and stand up for truth and righteousness, because if, you know, when we fail to do that, we basically are not walking in faith. We're walking in fear, and the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. And that, my friend, I believe is the largest problem facing this nation, the lukewarmness of the church. The lukewarmness, the walking in fear. Satan, let me tell you something. Satan was defeated on the cross in Calvary 2,000 years ago. He does not rule the world. Yes, he is still prowling and about the world, and the world largely is in his grip, much of the world. But Jesus Christ is still sitting at the right hand of the Father, and God the Father is on the throne, and he is sovereign. And we who are in Christ Jesus, it's the Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The problem in this country, Doug, is that most Christians walk by fear instead of by faith. A lack of faith, and I'm not talking in a, you know, word of faith or prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about it in that context. I'm talking about knowing who we are and acting like it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is our biggest.
You're right.
That is our biggest problem. Doug, we could have an entirely different nation virtually overnight if Christians came together in the Spirit and stood for righteousness and justice and truth in our nation. I mean, think about it. There was a gathering in Washington, D.C. for this Pizzagate thing, which is really just a global pedophilia ring. And to me, it's, I mean, there's so much evidence and that I cannot believe, and maybe Trump is doing stuff behind the scenes in the Attorney General Sessions, but to me, I can't believe that the church, the body of Jesus Christ, Christian leaders around the country are not holding daily press conferences to get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
And yet, remember I talked about it, the spirit of delusion is just as alive and well, I believe, in the church as it is outside the church. And that, I believe,
very
Brandon
well
House
said.
Has talked about on your show before, that is a sign that we're not, you know, it's not like God is going to judge us in the future if we don't get our act together. That is a sign, gentlemen, that we are under judgment.
Okay.
Under judgment.
So
with
yeah.
that, do you mind if I share a little story from this weekend?
No, please do.
And Greg, just to let you know, we're skipping the break in the middle of the hour, so we have up until the end of the hour without interruption.
Excellent, because I think what I'm going to share with your audience, Joe and Doug, is going to dovetail with what we just talked about, but I think it's going to be extremely encouraging, and I think will provide a lot of the information, and I think a lot of, hopefully, will help guide people, because I think a lot of the Hagman and Hagman audience and listeners say, okay, you've given us the bad news. We know that, you know, it's basically Trump against the world. We know about the global pedophilia ring. We know about the giants in Antarctica. We know about all of the dark stuff. We know about the David Dalyden videos and Planned Parenthood that they're killing babies. So where is the good news? Where is the positive news? And that's what I want to share with you guys tonight, because I had a couple of things happen to me over the past week that I believe God in his providence allowed to happen in my life as teachable moments that I could share with your audience tonight to inform, to encourage. And basically what happened was two things. First of all, this weekend, as I mentioned, I went as a chaperone. I was one of the chaperones on my son's Bible youth getaway up in the mountains, Calvary Chapel, bunch of Calvary chapels here in Colorado, met down in, west of Colorado Springs, this beautiful place, cabins, and we had zip lining and other fun stuff for the kids. And we had a five-part teaching from different pastors from different churches for the children and the youth on who is Jesus. And basically, you know, it was Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. He is the good shepherd. He's the door to salvation. He is the life. He is the resurrection. And it was masterfully done so these kids would have a better understanding, and adults too, of who Jesus is. And the wonderful thing about the weekend, the best part was we broke out Saturday night into small groups, and I was in charge with one of the other chaperones, another gentleman, of eight kids, and they ranged in age between like 9 and 16. And we at Saturday night, after the fourth session — the fifth session was on Sunday morning — but after the fourth session, we asked the kids, you know, what they got out of it, and they kind of, you know, each person shared one thing that they thought was memorable and cool that they learned that day. And at the end, I said, well, let me ask you guys a question. And by the way, one of the chaperones shared his testimony. And part of his testimony included, you know, he was very real with the kids, and not too graphic, but he also didn't sugarcoat his salvation experience in his life before he was saved. He was doing drugs. He was looking at pornography. A lot of the things that millions of people are doing, right? So it was very real for these kids. And what was amazing was I said, okay, would anybody like to say anything, or does anybody need any special prayer? Because we want to pray with you guys. And then basically there was silence, Joe and Doug. And I said, okay, well, why don't we just pray? We'll go to the rec center. And then one of the kids said, wait a minute, I have something to say. And he got kind of choked up. And then all of a sudden he started crying. And this is what we prayed for, Joe and Doug, that the Holy Spirit would be moving with these kids. And the kid just broke down and said, I've been — and I think he's probably 14 or 15 years old — he said, I've been looking at porn for the past year. I've been hiding it from my parents, and I'm so ashamed. And he started just bawling, crying. And another kid basically said, you know, after he was done, he said, you know, I've been doing the same thing. I've been looking at my phone, and I can't help it. It's like a demon or something is, and I can't stop myself. And he was crying. This kid was probably 15 years old. And then another kid stood up and said, he's like 13 years old. He said, I've been smoking for the past 4 months, and I'm so ashamed. And my parents, if they knew about it, they would be so mad. He was crying. One of the kids, she's probably, you know, 14, 15 years old, said he had been struggling with gay feelings toward another guy. And I guess his mother caught some texts that he was sending to this other boy. And he said, ironically enough, guys, he said not that, it's a healthy and happy lifestyle, and he felt so good, and he just wishes people weren't so critical of him. What he said broke apart. He said, it feels like I'm cursed having these feelings. And of course, this particular guy didn't have a father. I think he might have been abused by his father, which a lot of times is the case, where they look for male companionship or some sort of male companionship when they've been abused, or when there's an absent father in the home. But the point I'm trying to make, guys, is that four out of these eight kids were watching pornography. And by the way, these kids I see every week in church. I teach Sunday school once or twice a month. I'm a mentor to a lot of these kids. And the bottom line was, that was the first time they had ever divulged that. If you saw these kids at church, you'd think that they had everything together. You know, good parents. One of them who developed some of the stuff, his father's the pastor of our church. And not with the pornography, but this particular person was, you know, he admitted that he was smoking, which, by the way, it's not the end of the world, you know, and I'm not, it's not like he murdered anybody. But what really was impressed on my heart, Joe and Doug, and this is what I want to get across to your audience, is that my heart broke for these kids. And what I realized was not just because of the stuff they're involved in. And by the way, I mean, this pornography, I've done some research and I want to share some statistics with your audience, because the devil is truly trying to kill, steal, and destroy your children's souls and to get them as far away from God as possible. But what really hurt my heart, Joe and Doug, is that when they were telling their stories and crying, it was like a half hour earlier they were laughing and carrying on, and it was like all that stuff was inside there, but they were afraid to let it out. They were afraid to let it out. But I was so encouraged by the fact that together the Holy Spirit moved on their hearts and convicted them to confess their sin one to another, which is what the Bible says to do. And at that point they became free and liberated. And what the devil wants us to do in our sin is to stay isolated. He wanted all of those boys to keep their sin a secret, to continue on in their sin, and to not confess and to not admit it. And then afterwards, Joe and Doug, one of the boys looked at me and said, "Would you please pray for us?" We all got in a big circle. We prayed together, you know, and it was a feeling. I could see it on their faces the rest of Saturday and Sunday. They were so relieved. They had such a look of relief, because I told them that, you know, they didn't lose their salvation because they sinned. They didn't, you know, they weren't going to hell. I mean, these are things that were causing them significant amount of anxiety and grief in their lives. And what it showed me, Joe and Doug, was if four of the eight admitted to watching pornography under the age of 15, what is it like in the rest of Christian America? How many other kids are watching pornography? And by the way, if you look at any of the, and I'll get into statistics in a minute, and I know I said that there's a positive message here, so I want to share that with you guys first, because what I realized is that this is the way he wants the body of Christ, us adults, to function. Those kids confess to one another their sins. We prayed together. We had real fellowship. One of the boys actually emailed and said this was the greatest, most real move of God that he's ever seen in his life. By the way, I emailed your producer, John Robertson, the email that was sent to me from my pastor's wife, who emailed that to me, because I guess that's what a lot of these weekends are for people to grow closer to God, to confess their sins, to grow spiritually. And that's what happened. And I couldn't help but think, Joe and Doug, I don't know about you guys, but and listeners, think about it, your churches. How often do you get together in groups, and maybe you do, in small groups or at church, where you're that broken, where you're confessing to one another your sins and being freed and praying for one another and encouraging one another and holding one another accountable? Because I'm telling you that, I mean, I just saw one statistic that over 50% of pastors watch porn on a regular basis. Think about that. 50% of pastors in America are watching pornography on a regular basis. And apparently, 8 out of 10 under the age of 15 have either watched pornography or view it on a regular basis. I mean, this is from the ages of 8 to 15, Joe and Doug. I mean, this wasn't like when we were kids and or when I was a kid, and you had to really search long and hard for it. It's one mouse click away, and it's one keystroke away. It's on the magazine rack at the Safeway or at the King Super or whatever your grocery store is. It's everywhere. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up with your audience tonight was that that whole experience showed me, and I believe God showed me, that that situation, what those kids did, serves as an example for what the church, the body of Jesus Christ, needs to do individually as family members and collectively as the church. But it starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with the Hagman and Hagman listeners individually doing business with the Lord on an individual basis. And I'm going to tell you, there is so much freedom. There is so much freedom in confessing your sin and getting right. Because God already knows your sin. You might think, and you might be good at keeping it from other people in your family, people that are close to you. And this isn't even for kids, but hopefully this is going to be an encouragement for you listening. Even if you're saved, but you're struggling, and chances are there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with pornography. I'm just going to lay it out there, Joe and Doug, and I'm sorry to upset people and to talk about, you know, something that, might be a little uncomfortable to talk about, but this is a massive problem in this country. The devil is doing everything he can to twist and distort God's word, to manipulate and distort and destroy and bastardize human sexuality, which is a beautiful thing that God created. And he's going right to the flesh. And I would encourage you, if you're a parent listening right now and you have kids, I'm telling you, there's a good chance that your children have viewed pornography. And if they view it, there's been studies that have come out, Joe and Doug, that say that pornography is more addicting than heroin. It hits your dopamine levels at a more advanced pace than heroin. And I say this to encourage you, because if you think just because little Johnny, you look over and they're playing video games, they're very good at hiding it. And if you don't have that conversation with them, if you don't tell them how damaging and destructive it is, because a lot of studies show that it leads to other type of addictive behavior, including drugs and alcohol and other harmful self-destructive behaviors. But if you don't have that conversation and ask your kids point blank and let them know this is a safe place, you're not going to get in trouble. I want to know if you've ever viewed pornography, because all it takes is one time. It's like a hit of crack to get hooked on it. And I'm sure there's many people nodding their heads that are listening tonight. They know what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody or to make anybody feel guilty. I'm saying it because if you're involved in it or if your kids are involved in it, you need to be the primary moral and spiritual instructors of your kids. Don't think that the schools are going to do it or Sunday schools are going to do it, or just because the kids go to church and they look clean cut that they're not doing it. I'm telling you, Joe and Doug, every one of these four kids that admitted to watching pornography that were broken over it were the cleanest cut kids you had ever seen. By the way, do you know what state has the most per capita subscriptions to pornography channels on TV, Joe and Doug? Trivia question.
Which state?
Which state has the most...
The state of depravity. Seriously, I would say... I would say California.
That's what I would have said. Guess okay. What state it is? Utah.
Huh.
What do you think when you think about Utah? Think about Mormons. Upstanding,
yeah, exactly.
Family people. Utah. 5.7 out of 1,000 has a subscription. It's the highest rate of any state. Let me share some. You mind if I share a couple statistics? Because
And if I could just, before you do, I just want to say this. I truly believe, Greg, that when you listen to these statistics, think too. This is not, this is by design, and this is closely related to the normalcy of the, the Pedigate. I mean, this is the undergirding of things like Pedigate. And so go ahead, fire away.
Think about Satan's first attack in the garden. He destroyed the first family. And I'm not talking about George and Martha Washington. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. When he convinced, when Satan deceived Eve to eat the forbidden fruit and Adam didn't stand up as the priest of his home and stop her, he took part in it. He was complicit. And in fact, some theologians believe was even more guilty than Eve. He went right to what? He went right to distorting and twisting and manipulating God's word. And he went to the flesh. He went right to the flesh. He went right to the, that visual, right? We're visually oriented. He went to Eve's eyes. Doesn't that look good? Doesn't it look tasty? Surely, surely you can have the mind of God if you eat that fruit. You can know good from evil too. And that same lie that was spoken to Eve in the garden is the same lie of Satan that he's speaking to our kids and adults as well in regards to pornography, which is that it's going to give you the most satisfaction, the most gratification. Doesn't it look shiny? Doesn't it look good? And he's going right to the heart of your flesh to kill, steal, and destroy your soul. And that's why so many people are hooked on it, Doug, because it's such a strong visual component to pornography. 12% of websites on the internet are pornographic. That's 26 million sites. Number two, hey, every second. Yeah, go ahead.
Greg, if I can jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
I've talked to people, and you know, we've gotten phone calls, and especially when we do shows dealing with spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. people will ask a few things about addiction. One, cigarette smoke. You know, we get a lot of people saying, you know, what can I do, you know, spiritually, and then pornography is another one. People, as you said, have an addiction. It turns into an addiction. And one thing that I've noticed throughout my whole life, and especially now more on the internet, it used to be TV commercials, you know, the beer commercials with girls in bikinis and guys on a beach drinking a beer. But even a more disturbing trend is on the internet now, where you get so many of these ads that pop up or are part of websites, and they make certain things appear to be sexual, and then they will put you know, sexual innuendos in these ads, which will which is a trigger for some people. So it's not only, you know, the pornographic sites, it's the lure, you know, the lustfulness and the luring of people to those sites. So it's a, you know, it's a double-edged sword there.
It's everywhere. It surrounds us. Yeah, you're right. It's not just on the websites, on explicitly pornographic websites. It's in our advertising. It's on TV. It's everywhere. To answer your question, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I think Paul answers the question best as to how to avoid it, how to get free of it. And Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Let me repeat that. Verse 16, Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We know that the law brings death, right? Those are, and the wages of sin are death. And we know that those of us who are born again, who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, are no longer under the law, because Jesus, representing the law, who is born under the law, was crucified and paid for all of our sins when he was crucified. And when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer under the law because the law has been crucified, but under grace. And so the answer, I believe the short answer, how do people get free, is given here by Paul. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us how to walk in the Spirit. Paul tells us, Jesus tells us, fellowship with other believers. Those kids demonstrated how to walk in the Spirit. The story that I just told was, I think, a great demonstration of how to walk in the Spirit. It means, Christian brothers and sisters, that we stop playing church and that we start getting real and that we have accountability, Christian brothers and sisters, who we can share our sins with, and that the Bible says share your sins one to another. There's a healthy component. So, and the devil wants to isolate, but God wants us to be open and transparent and broken like those kids were. That's where spiritual growth takes place. That's where freedom from bondage takes place. The best thing that you can do, if you are listening, let me just give you an example. One of my close friends had a series of adulterous relationships with his wife. He played, 14 years in the NHL, and that's part of the whole culture there. And he was so broken by it, he texted me one day and said, Greg, I just want to get rid of all of this sin. How do I do it? And I texted him back, you need to get born again. Of course, I've shared that message. I've shared the gospel with him many times. But it was that night that we spoke, and I said, the first thing that you need to do is repent of your sins, get right with God, and then trust him to make everything better, and then you need to tell your wife, and you need to trust that the Lord will put your marriage back together, and to not live in fear, but to live by faith. And by the way, a year later, his wife had forgiven him. I stood at their renewing of their vows in California. I was honored to be the best man. I was in the wedding party before, but his brother was the best man. I was the best man this time. I was the only person that was part of that wedding. And I believe that God supernaturally breathed new life in that wedding. Why? Because he was broken. He was honest. He was transparent. And to the extent that we can be broken and contrite and honest and transparent, Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Joe, you and I have had, we've had discussions over this over the past years. We all struggle with certain things in our lives. And I've experienced the greatest growth in my life during times when I've been the most broken. That's when I've experienced the most growth in my life, is when I have experienced the greatest brokenness in my life. Because that's when God really gets to work. And I want to tell a story, if I could, Joe and Doug, that, sure, that kind of reinforces that. By the way, I said I was going to read a couple of statistics. Let me just read you two more to drive home this whole thing about the pornography. Wow. 35% of all internet downloads are pornographic. 25% of all search engine requests are pornographic related. 68 million a day. In the U.S., internet porn pulls in $2 billion per year. The entire worldwide industry is $5 billion. The top pornographic search terms are sex 75% of the time. I already said Utah has the nation's highest online porn subscription rate. The average age at which a child first views porn is 11 years old. 20% of men admit to watching porn online at work. 13% of women do. The least popular day of the year for watching porn is Thanksgiving, obviously, because families are together. It's tough to break free. The most popular day of the week for viewing porn is, drumroll please, Sunday, the Lord's Day. Those are some of the statistics. And I will just say to you guys that as grim as that looks, here's the good news. See, because I wanted to bring this message to your show tonight, Joe and Doug, and I felt a heavy conviction of the Holy Spirit to share this message, because we can look at the world around us, as great as the problems are on a macro scale, and many of these things we cannot control. But here's what we can control. We can control, on a micro level, going to our kids and saying, hey, let's go out for a hamburger, let's go to a movie and then go out for ice cream afterward, and sit them down and have these types of conversations. You know, have you seen pornography? Are you engaged in it? And, you know, I'm hoping that your kids aren't. But look at the statistics, guys. We can't, remember, Doug, we started off this conversation talking about a spirit of delusion. It's holding beliefs that are contradicted by reality. The reality is that 9 out of 10 kids under the age of 15 have seen pornography. 7 out of 10 view it regularly under the age of 15 in the United States of America. But here's the good news,
schools,
guys.
Greg. I mean, in a twisted way. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Doug, it's taught in our schools. It's taught in our schools when, let's just be honest about it, when you have administrators and teachers that are telling our kids that it's healthy and normal to sodomize, for two men to sodomize one another, for two females to kiss one another, these are all pornographic, perverted, sexually perverted, demonically inspired ideas and philosophies that are regularly taught to our kids. But the bottom line is that we as the body of Christ, we as Christians, largely are to blame because we allow it. We send our kids there, we allow the teachers to teach this stuff, and we think that, well, I'm sending little Johnny to an hour and a half at Sunday school. That's gonna inoculate him. You know, he's gonna be okay in that situation. Let me tell you something. One of the kids that was sharing asking for prayer and sharing their sins, said, and my parents, he's been homeschooled, and his parents sent him to a public school recently because he's a good football player. And he said, and I feel so ashamed because I'm hanging out with these kids and all they do is swear, and now I'm cussing all the time. And he started just tearing up and getting so emotional about it, because he knows that, and I'm not saying that if you swear that you're going to hell or that you're, you know, but that was becoming a regular part of his vocabulary. And so the bottom line is that these kids were broken, Doug, over this, but it's largely, I mean, his parents are sending him knowingly, consciously, to this school where they're taught that, you know, kids of all, or people evolve from animals, that there is no God, that all truth is relative, that we decide we're our own gods, essentially, that we decide what the truth is in life, that there is no transcendent moral authority, that it's okay for two men to have sex together and to marry one another. These are all the perverted teachings, anti-biblical, anti-Christical teachings that our kids are being indoctrinated with. And, by the way, that's why I wrote my book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, for my son, because I wanted him at least to know the truth about these things. And the bottom line is this, guys, that we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our own families by getting real with one another. If you're a man or woman, by the way, one out of every three that view pornography regularly are women. Just, if you think it's just men that are looking at pornography, it's women that are getting addicted, that Satan is addicting and getting hooked on this as well. And so, if you're a husband or a wife and you think that you're isolating and you're feeling ashamed, I'm gonna pray that you would be released from that even tonight, and you would go to your spouse, significant other, spouse, parent, whomever, fellow Christian, brother or sister, and let them know and share your sin. You're going to feel a catharsis, a relief, and you're not going to feel enslaved. And that's when you're going to feel the most free, because you can ask for prayer and you can have an accountability partner and you can be on the road to freedom instead of isolation in fear. Let me share this story with you guys, because I know that we only have about 10 minutes left. The other day I was walking my dog Gunner. This is the good part. This is the real encouraging part. And you guys know Gunner. We adopted him from a kill shelter in Texas. He's a Labrador retriever. He's got a little border collie. He's the best thing that ever happened to the Jackson family. He's enhanced every aspect of our lives. We love him. He's a member of our
picture. And his picture is on the wall of the listener dogs and guest dogs right here in the Hagman, in my office. So I just want to say Gunner's a great dog. Go ahead.
You would love him, Doug. I mean, you would love him. And, you know, we don't know what his past was. We think that his owner died. She was a woman. And he does have a tendency sometimes to be that alpha male. I've spoken with you, Doug, on the phone while I've been walking Gunner, and you've heard him, right? I think you've heard him in the back, barking pretty loudly. But so we're walking the other day. I'm a little stressed out because my son Jake had hockey tryouts. By the way, he did make the hockey team. I'm very proud of him. There was about 50 kids trying out for two teams, and he made it. So I was very excited for that. But it was before, and I was a little stressed out, and I was kind of walking quickly, and I was walking the dog, and this one guy comes by us on the sidewalk, and he's running. He's about my age, and he's running like a jogger runner, and out of nowhere. You know, usually I'm holding the leash tight enough, but, you know, the other day I wasn't, apparently. And it kind of slipped out of my hand, and he nipped the guy's thigh. And the guy immediately went down, and he said, "Dude, your dog bit me." And I was like, "Oh, man, I'm so sorry." I felt terrible, Doug. And I said, it just slipped out of my hands. He goes, "Dude, you are a bad dog owner. Your dog just bit me." He said, "Say goodbye to your dog. Your dog is going down. That dog is going down. I'm calling animal control right now. There's laws in Colorado. If any dog bites you, they put him down immediately. Your dog's going down. Say goodbye to your dog." And Doug, I'm telling you, man. And as a dog owner, I know you feel the same way. I mean, I didn't try to slip out of it. I didn't get in his face. I was like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. It's totally my fault. If there's any bills, or, you know, if you're hurt in any way, you know, I will pay for everything. I promise. If you want to call the police, I'll fill out a police report. I'm not going to, you know, I'm taking full responsibility. It's my fault. It's not the dog's fault. But please don't call animal control to have him put down." And this guy wasn't having it. He was absolutely... as about as unforgiving and unmerciful as you can get. And so what did I do? I was two blocks away from home. I called my wife and I said, "You got to come down here, sweetheart." And she did. And she came down and she attempted to reason with the guy. And he's like, "No, that, you know, that your dog is dangerous. I could be infected. My leg could fall off. He might have rabies. He might have rabies." And I said, "No, we know he's been tested. He doesn't have rabies." Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're getting me fired up, Greg, because that little nip would have been the least of that man's problems, but that's just me. Go ahead.
Well, listen, the story gets good, though, Doug. The story gets good, and this is what I want to share with people, because there's a happy ending to the story. But at any rate, my wife comes down, and she's trying to reason with a guy, and he's not having it at all. And I just, at that point, Doug, I came to the end of myself, and I just sat down, and I started petting my dog and praying silently, you know, because I couldn't do anything to reason with this guy, and I certainly wasn't going to leave. And a couple minutes went by. It seemed like an eternity, but all of a sudden, the guy says, he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm not," and he took the phone from his ear and he put it down and he shut it off. He said, "I'm not going to call." He said, "I'm not going to have your dog put down." He said, "And I'm so sorry for the way that I spoke to you." And And he goes, I'm ashamed. He said, my father is a minister. He used the term minister. And I'm a Christian, and I'm ashamed of the way I acted. Because I think what prompted that, Doug, was that I asked, I said, dude, can't you show me just a, and my dog, just a little bit of mercy, a little bit of grace? And I think that that, he said after, and we got down, I'm kind of breaking up right now, getting emotional talking about it, but he then went to his knees, and he started petting my dog with me, and I embraced him, and I put my arm around his shoulder, and I said, I'm so sorry that my dog did this to you. And he was crying, like tears, like my wife was standing over us and looking down at us like, wow, I cannot believe this is happening. And I said, I love you, brother. He said, I love you too. I'm so sorry that I said that to you. And it was true Christian love, Doug. I can't explain it. It's never happened to me in my entire life. It was a total, miraculous, supernatural. It was the hand of God over us. And I ended up giving the guy a ride back to his house. You know, he had an ice pack over his. He's doing fine now. It didn't get infected. It did look pretty bad. But the reason I bring this up, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, is that. And by the way, he said, I said, look, dude, we need. He said, dude, you owe me now. We got to become friends. We're about the same age, and he seems like a cool character. But what it showed me was that when we're in the flesh, even if you're a Christian, you can say some pretty mean stuff. You can do some pretty mean things. And it's, Joe, it's that whole thing that I share with you from the book of Galatians, right? How do we stay away from sin? It says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take that you are not consumed by one another, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's what happened, gentlemen. When I shut my mouth and prayed and relied on the Lord, that's when I believe the Holy Spirit convicted this gentleman. His name's Todd, great guy. And where he came to his senses, where he wasn't being controlled by the flesh, and where he was walking now in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we can be forgiving of one another. We can be merciful and kind to one another. We can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. That is, you know, the whole list is also in Galatians chapter 5. And I bring this up, Joe and Doug, because if you think about it, that's what Jesus did for us. This, you know, my dog, I sinned, and the penalty for that sin that I committed in the state of Colorado should have been my dog's being put to death. And that's what we all deserve. We all deserve to die because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 says, and that the wages of sin are death. And yet this guy, I think in some ways, represents kind of a Christ-like figure in that he took the pain, he took the punishment on himself. Not that it was punishment, but I guess when you get bitten by a dog, it's kind of a punishing thing, right? And he extended his grace to me because I should have had to pay. I was guilty, and yet this guy said, no. I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to bear the wound. I'm going to bear the transgression. I'm going to pay the penalty, and you're going to walk free with your dog and go to your son's hockey practice. And
what an amazing story. That's great.
Doug, I'm telling you, I have been so blown away of what has happened. That's why I'm so thankful that I could share this with the Hagman and Hagman family. Because, listen, if you're saved, you're a born-again Christian, but you've gotten off the path. Maybe you're watching pornography or whatever it is. Stop beating yourself up. Do what these kids did at my camp. Get real. Find somebody. Tell them. Get free of it tonight. That's what God wants, a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He can work with that. He'll take you to a new level in your life. There's so much freedom in that. But don't continue to isolate. And if you're harboring resentment or hostility towards somebody and you're living in the flesh, like initially this guy Todd did when he was bitten by Gunner.
And my initial reaction to that story as well. I mean, you talk about an exhibit.
Yeah, me too. You know, I wanted to punch him in the face.
Okay, yeah.
But here's the good news, Doug. The good news is that this is what the Lord is impressing on my heart. There is so much freedom in forgiveness, forgiving other people, even if they don't ask for it. And I know some theologians differ on whether you have to forgive people, but you don't necessarily have to tell them. But in your heart, you need to forgive them, and you need to pray for your enemies. And I know it's hard. Like, look at you guys. I mean, you guys take abuse all the time on email, and you guys are always under attack, and it's hard. But what I'm saying is that if we are truly going to be a healthy body, the body of Christ, and really grow spiritually and get through these difficult and increasingly difficult times, it has to be because we're doing the heavy lifting, the honest, you know, assessments of our own life, taking inventory of our own lives, and doing real business with the Lord. And when we do that, we can be free of the things that are getting us off course, that are preventing us from walking on what the Bible calls the path of righteousness, from being used the way God wants us to use us in our lives, to be a blessing to others. And that's why hopefully the time that we've spent together is going to encourage people to break free by calling on the name. And if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ,
may
today
Greg,
be the day of salvation for you. Yes.
Don't mean to cut you off. We're at the very end of our time together.
Guys.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us. You have a great night.
You as well. I love you guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. We'll be right back.
Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.